Are you ready?
Live from the Metal Mayhem Studios in Rochester, New York.
We are gold.
And heard around the world by metalheads just like you. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Heavy metal music.
Your weekly dose of metal music, interviews, album reviews, news, and more.
Want to be part of the show?
Send us a message through our website,
metalmayhemroc.com.
Or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Metal Mayhem ROC.
It's getting nice and heavy.
Now, welcome our hosts, John the Vernomatic Verno and Metal Forever Mark.
Good evening, everybody. I'm the Vernomatic, and welcome to this week's show. It's Thursday night. As always, new content drops. Visit the MetalMayhemROC.com website. There you'll find direct links to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. Whatever means you use to get your podcasting content, they're there. Download past shows in the archive drop-down box. Leave a review, subscribe. That kind of stuff helps the bottom line. Do yourself a favor and sign up for our email list. This is a weekly update that we send to the listeners. Tell them about present shows, special content you could get, but more importantly, any giveaways that we have. A lot of times we get freebies from record company execs. When we get it, we pass it along. This week's giveaway is a direct tie-in to tonight's show. We have Vinny Appice of Black Sabbath, Dio, Last in Line. Vinny's on the show tonight because Rhino Records is releasing the Heaven and Hell and Mob Rules Deluxe reissues. Vinny's here to talk about the recording of the Mob Rules album when he joined the band in 1980 when he took over for Bill Ward. He shares some stories from the tours back then. We get up to speed on what's going on with the Last in Line guys. And Vinny also shares a lot of stuff about his side projects. It's a cool, fun conversation. Vinny's an old friend of the show, and it's nice to catch up with him. We also have another old friend of the show, Metal Mayhem ROC correspondent Metal Walt. If you remember, we did a special with Walt back at Christmas time. Now, Metal Walt's the guy that goes to concerts, bootlegs the shows. He's also a veteran of rock and roll tours. Tons of shenanigans, tons of mischief. Well, Walt's also a Sabbath expert. He is just a well of information. So I'm going to be talking with him in a minute. He's going to tell us about, you know, his interpretation of the Dio Heaven and Hell Mob Rules era. So it's a fun show. Afterwards, we're going to end the show, and I have some Sabbath music I'm going to share with you. Just want to remind you, Monday nights, the Metal Mayhem ROC radio show is on. Go to the website, click on the link. It's on thatmetalstation.com. Things have been going well. It's always fun to talk with you people on a live as it happens platform. So the phone's ringing. Here he is from New Jersey, Metal Walt. Hey, Walt, how you been, buddy?
Hey, I'm good, Vernomaniac. Things are great. Excited to be back on the show and talking about one of my favorite topics, Black Sabbath, something very dear to my heart.
Sabbath. The Heaven and Hell Mob Rules Deluxe Box Set reissue. And everything's all reissued these days, remastered. Like the first four remasterings wasn't good enough. You know, now it's the pinnacle of remastering. But on a serious note, it looks like they have some, it's a two CD, two LP, whatever format you desire, with bonus tracks, live recordings from around the world, different outtakes on different songs from those sessions. Just recently, Jeff Nichols, the longtime keyboard player, released a demo track of Heaven and Hell from some of those early sessions. That isn't on here, but did you hear any of that?
Yeah, that was a really pleasant surprise because, you know, I think Jeff Nichols was really the one of the most underrated support guys through the 80s and 90s under Tony Iommi. And he really didn't get a lot of exposure and credit, but he really was the glue with Tony in terms of songwriting and hanging in there. And it's a shame that he's since passed away, but yeah, what a great thing that this popped up out of his estate. And I think what's amazing about that clip is it's just so real. As you can imagine, these guys sitting in, I think what was described as likely the Bel Air Hotel in Los Angeles, just crafting on the song. And I think the other thing there too is the absence of Geezer Butler, who I believe at that time was maybe going through some personal issues with rehab, and Jeff standing in there playing bass. So this song was essentially written before Geezer ever even came back into the fold. So, man, just a really cool throwback, and to hear it kind of as it happened. Man, I would love to hear all of that. I wish there was 3 hours of those rehearsals.
Well, maybe there are. That cassette was found by chance. Like you mentioned, someone was going through his estate belongings, and that was found. So going back to 1981, that's when the transition, Dio came into the band. It's been well documented. Sabbath, essentially from the 70s, was over. It was a tired act. Ozzy was in some hotel drinking his sorrows away. And as it was, the history of the Dio and Iommi courtship was, Iommi was looking for a new singer or looking for a new project, and Dio was looking for a new band or a new project. And the common denominator, believe it or not, was a young Sharon Arden, who turned out to be Sharon Osbourne. So rumor has it, or legend has it, the two came together in that Bel Air, California hotel rehearsal space, and they just ironed it out and just, you know, got to know each other. What's your take on the Sabbath, the Heaven and Hell and Mob Rules releases? What do you like about it? What stands out?
Yeah, I think what I love about it, and again, I think this has kind of been all well documented, but just the sort of the change in the style of the music. I mean, not drastic, but away from, you know, the early sounding, let's say, sludgy, doomy riffs and into things that were more a little bit faster, different tempos, a little bit more melodic. And I really think that changed the whole, you know, image of the band. And to bring in this singer who was, you know, let's be honest, he was a legitimate vocalist with also an amazing stage presence. And just, yeah, for me personally, I mean, you know, top to bottom on the Heaven and Hell album, I mean, to me, there's, you know, you could shake the order up of the tracks, but there's not a weak track on that album. I think Mob Rules, especially as you get into that one, that just, they amped it up even more. There's more variety, I think, the sound and the tone on that album, and some of the mood changes on some of these songs, such as, you know, Falling Off the Edge of the World and Sign of the Southern Cross, and even the bit of a blues element on Voodoo, is just it's timeless rock. I mean, here these albums are 40 years old and older now. And you can pick them up and put them on. And you know, if you're a new metal fan, you're going to be hooked right in. So great to know that there's even going to be, you know, additional remasters and even better quality and additional content to pull from.
Now, you go back to the debate is, many times there's a metal discussion, Heaven and Hell versus Mob Rules. And that's been going on forever. But in my opinion, both these albums are under the moniker Just Press Play. There's not a skip track on either of them. Now, there is, I was doing some show research on this. Iommi has stated in his memoir back a few years ago that the song, Children of the Sea, he does have a demo version of Ozzy singing it. And it just, he was quoted as saying that there was something there, but it wasn't being captured. And that was the first song that he brought to the table when him and Ronnie got together. And that was the first song that they made together. And that's like one of my favorites, the Children of the Sea.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that track is just stellar. I mean, that was covered through so many eras of the band too on the touring circuit. And again, just talking about the atmospheric, where it's got the acoustic beginning, the build up to the heavy part, the melodies in the middle, the theme, the dramatic ups and downs, the big look out at the end. I mean, again, just an amazing track.
Well, Walt, this is all fascinating, and we could go on all afternoon. And I want to thank you for taking the time and catching up again.
That's it. Great. Thanks for having me on, and look forward to keeping up the spirit and being on the next time. Thanks.
Okay. Keep it heavy.
Hey, this is Vinny Appice from Dio, Black Sabbath, and Last in Line, and you're listening to Metal Mayhem ROC.
Hey! Listen up!
Now get that popcorn ready and grab a seat.
Do it!
As the Vernomatic and Metal Forever Mark present this week's feature interview, exclusively here on Metal Mayhem ROC.
On the line, direct from Los Angeles, California, a metaler for over 40-plus years in the hard rock and metal scene, drummer Vinny Appice. Hey, Vinny, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. How you doing, John?
We're doing well. We're joined today by
Mike, right?
Yeah, Metal Forever Mark. He's online Zoom with us at his headquarters.
Hey, Vinny, good to see you again.
Hey, Mark, how you doing, brother?
Hey, man, we had a lot of fun with you all when you were here in Rochester almost a year and a half ago now, and it's a lot colder today than it was when you guys were rolling through town. So thanks for joining us today. We're excited to talk to you.
I love Rochester. And the introduction, I sound like I'm a senior metal artist. Heavy metal. A senior heavy metal drummer. There I am.
Vertomatic. You should say up-and-coming drummer in the metal industry, Vinny Appice.
Just started playing two weeks ago, yeah. Anyway, I love Rochester. What a great city, and we had fun when we were there, and home of Gene Cornish, right?
Yes, Gene Cornish.
House of Guitars, and a lot of rock history.
Stevie Gadd's from here, Kodak, and I believe your better half, Spen, your girlfriend live here for about 20 years, or her family's from here?
I'd have to check that out. Which girlfriend?
Well, anyways, in any case, it's great to have you on, and we're excited to cover a lot of subjects today, but the Last in Line guys are putting together some new material. We're going to cover that, but we want to touch base on the Black Sabbath Heaven and Hell Mob Rules reissue that's coming out. Give us a little history on why that's coming out now, and we'll touch base on how you got into Sabbath and the wonder 3 years you spent with the band.
Well, I must say that I don't know anything about the reissues. I know as much as you guys when you look at it on the internet, and so I think it's out. And I don't know what they did. If they remastered it, I'm not quite sure. Sorry, but I don't follow that. My question is, am I getting paid for that?
Okay, well, this leads me quickly to the next question, where was your involvement? Obviously none, because this is a Rhino's release of the first two. Supposedly it's a deluxe edition, available March 5th with some additional cuts and whatnot. So I guess you answer our question that you're not involved with it.
Yeah, I'll have to go pick it up at the order it on Amazon probably.
Well, if that's the case, maybe we could touch base on how did you get that Sabbath gig and give us a little story about that period, because I remember as a young teenager going to those shows and loving those two releases. Give us a little insight on the Sabbath days.
Yeah. I didn't play on Heaven and Hell, but what a great album. What a rock classic album. But I did play on Mob Rules, and then after that, Dehumanizer. And it started in 1980. Actually, I was doing some things for Ludwig Drums in Chicago, and then my wife at the time called and said, hey, somebody from, I know what it was. It was before I went to Chicago, and I got a call from Sharon Osbourne's office, and she got on the line and told me Ozzy was putting a band together. And we heard about you. We'd love you to fly to England and hang out with Ozzy, see how it goes. And you can play drums or, just hang out, see if we're compatible, So I thought, oh, wow, Ozzy. And I thought at that time Ozzy was, out of Sabbath. He was drinking. He was pretty crazy. So I thought, let me ask my brother what he thought of Ozzy. And I called my brother Carmine. I said, is Ozzy nuts? And he goes, yeah. Yeah. So because he's known him for quite a while. And he said, yeah, he's pretty crazy. So I turned it down. You know, I was young and I just didn't think it all the way through, and I turned it down. And about a month later, when I went to Chicago, while I was there, my wife, ex-wife, said, somebody from Sabbath called. I went, what, really? All this in 1 year? So when I got home, I called them and they said, we're in town. We're in the middle of a tour, which is called Heaven and Hell. And they were in Denver playing McNichols Arena, but Bill Ward never showed up. He was having some problems and they had to cancel the gig and postpone it. So they had 4 days off. So they came to LA to find a drummer. So they got a hold of me. I don't know how. And I spoke to the tour manager. He said, why don't you come down and meet Tony tomorrow? Or tonight, I don't know which it was. I said, yeah, that'd be great. And this was in Hollywood, and I went down to the hotel, met Tony, and we hit it off right away. And he had one of the albums I did from 1978 called Axis, which was the three-piece power trio. A really good album produced by Andy Johns, good drum sound and everything. Tony liked the album. And he walked in with the album, you know, under his arm, and we hit it off really good, and then he invited me come meet the band tomorrow and you know, have a jam, have it play. So that's what I did. I put all my drums in the car and went to SIR Studios on where was that, Sunset Boulevard, and that's where we played for the first time. That's the first time I met Ronnie and Geezer, Tony the night before, and Jeff Nichols. And right before that, I heard Neon Nights on the radio, you know, driving in the car, and I thought, wow, that new singer Dio, he's really good, man. They sound great, you know, because I didn't follow Ronnie. I heard Man on the Silver Mountain and Long Live Rock and Roll, but I wasn't a Rainbow fan, so I didn't really follow Rainbow or Ronnie. And so 2 weeks before, I hear Neon Nights, and now 2 weeks later, I'm down here at the rehearsal with Ronnie in the band, and they go, what do you want to play? I went, oh, shit. I wasn't a huge Sabbath fan. I mean, I was a fan, but I didn't know every song, you know. I've heard the song. So they go, what do you want to play? I thought, well, that Neon Nights was pretty straight ahead. I know the tempo from just hearing it. All right, let's play Neon Nights. So that was the first song we ever played together. I didn't have it down very good, but it was good enough to tell if it fit in, you know. And we played a couple of things. I forgot what else we played. And then they said, yeah, let's do it. Because they only had 4 days. So it was only 4 days to rehearse. And that was one of the days already. So we had to get down to it. Then they were so happy, everybody went to the pub. And that killed a couple hours. And that happened the next day, too. We played a little bit, and then everybody went to the pub. I stayed back at the rehearsal with Jeff Nichols, and we went over the tunes and stuff. So, you know, I had to learn a whole bunch of songs real quick. And
that period, Sabbath, they're headlining the States. Was that was that the Black and Blue tour with Blue Oyster Cult?
No, this was the tour that we were, they had 4 days off, was Heaven and Hell, supporting the Heaven and Hell album. And they had to finish the tour, you know. So I came in, and that's what we rehearsed for, was that tour. And then when that tour was over, within that tour, I think we did the Black and Blue right after it, you know, Black and Blue tour, Blue Oyster Cult and then Black Sabbath.
That was the fall of 1980, the timeline. That was the Black and Blue leg of that.
Yeah. Yeah, and then during that tour, Warner Brothers asked the band if they wanted to do a song for the movie Heavy Metal, which was that animated heavy metal movie, and they agreed to do it. So we had a couple of days off in England, and we went into John Lennon's house. That's the house where he shot Imagine, and he lived. And obviously, he was passed away by then, and Ringo owned it. So we went in this big mansion in England, beautiful, great. I even got John Lennon's room, but I didn't stay in there because he just got shot. And I was like, I don't know if I want to stay in there. I saw too many Frankenstein movies when I was young. So we went in there and we wrote and recorded in like a day and a half, The Mob Rules. And that's what kind of cemented me in the band, because I was under the assumption that I'm in the band until Bill Ward comes back. That's what I was told, you know, but Bill never came back, made an effort to come back. So the tour went on and on and on. And then we went in the studio, recorded Mob Rules, and it said, came out so great. Everybody's like, wow, this is fantastic. So that really cemented me.
Wait a second. Band. Rewind. You just said that you guys wrote and recorded the Mob Rules in a day and a half.
Yeah. You only had a couple of days off. Yep.
So how much of the, what was your input, and were those leftover tracks, or were they just ideas and you guys were that efficient? Because, you know,
Tony's the riff master, you know?
Yeah, and Dio is, you know, he's the man too. And Geezer, he has his own wing in the Hall of Fame himself. So
yeah, everybody's, you know, those three guys have just been doing it for a long time, know how to make a record. We just started jamming. Tony had that riff, and it was like right up my alley, that kind of feel and all that stuff. So it just gelled, you know. And then Ronnie has a lot of ideas, and so does Geezer. And before you know it, we had a good arrangement. We had a couple of parts. There's not a lot of parts in that song, you know. Basically, the verses are the same, the choruses are the same, and then there's solo changes, you know. And then Ronnie wrote the lyrics while we were there. And, yeah, so, man, it was done. It wasn't mixed, but it was done. And then we sent it to get mixed, and then it was used in the movie. And then the one on the Mob Rules album, that one we re-recorded in Los Angeles. Same arrangement, but they're two different versions. They played a bit different, just a little bit.
Wow, that's crazy. So once the soundtrack, once Sabbath and they're committed to the soundtrack, at that point you probably figured, hey, I'm pretty safe in the band, or were you still looking over your shoulders, wondering if Bill Ward was going to be coming back?
I thought I was pretty safe in the band. It's not the style that Bill plays anyway, the way I played that song. You know, Bill would play it differently, or I don't know if he'd like playing that feel. I'm not sure. But I just thought, well, this has worked real well, and the record company loved it. And it's like, okay, so I think this is cementing me in the band a little bit more. And it was easy to work with. You know, in 2 days, we did it. So
yeah, you're drumming. You know, you definitely have your own style, and you bring those fills and that big sound. Vinny, this leads me to a listener question from one of our Twitter feeds. I put it out there before. This comes from Lindsay Lou in Fort Lauderdale. She says, ask Vinny, as his tenure in Sabbath progressed, the actual size of his drum set became bigger and bigger. Was this due to the fact that it was the 80s and excess was coming in, or did the Sabbath music lend his drumming to this style of kit?
Well, that's a great question, Lindsay. And both of those came into play. And what happened was, when I went down to play with Sabbath the first time at SAR Studios in Hollywood, I had my little Ludwig drums, single-headed toms. I had two racks and two floors and a couple of cymbals, you know? Nothing really big, but it worked for me. And when I brought them down in my car, I had a 67 Mustang, you know, they helped me, the road crew helped me out with them. It was simple. Set them up, but the set was so small compared to four stacks of Marshalls or Laney's or whatever Tony was using in Geezer's wall of bass amps. So Tony said, well, the set is really small. Can you play double bass? And I went, no, I don't really play double bass, but I'll call Ludwig Drums at the time and make the set bigger. And I called them and I ordered some aerial toms, which are floor toms turned horizontal above my shoulders so I could hit them like that. And I did that. That made it bigger. Then I got another floor tom by the hi-hat stand, another rack tom. So it was a little bit bigger. It looked better. And then I started getting into it, and it's like, oh, let's add some more aerial toms. Each tour, more, 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 more. And until I had a giant kit. So it was both the 80s, the excess, and if it looks great with the music. you know. And on the last Heaven and Hell tour, 2009, I had a 21-piece kit that was over the top. People used to just, before the shows, you know, sound check, people that were in the venue go, can I take a picture of this drum set?
I remember, you know, just, I remember that.
Yeah, it was over the top, you know. So it's Tony's fault that I had the big drum set. But good question.
Hey, Vinny, it's Metal Forever Mark. I know you had mentioned that you're not all that familiar with kind of what's going on with this new, I guess, remastered re-release, but it looks like they've got a couple of live shows included in like these bonus tracks. And they also are claiming there's some unreleased material. Like they have something a track listed Sign of the Southern Cross, Heaven and Hell Reprise. And it looks like they also have some unreleased stuff from, it was a show at Portland Memorial Coliseum in April of 82. Do you recall what some of this material might be and or those live recordings?
Well, they were just live recordings. Yeah, this band, the same with Dio, never went in the recording studio and had extra songs. When we were making these records, it was like 8 songs was the max, because it was vinyl, you know, or cassette or whatever it was. So we always wrote 8 songs and recorded them. We never did anything extra that didn't make the album on all the Sabbath years and all the Dio stuff we did. It's really weird. We never wrote, you know, wasn't the kind of band that wrote, hey, let's write 15 songs and see which 10 are the best. It's Sabbath was Sabbath. They did what they wanted to do, you know.
Yeah, so anything that might be listed would be maybe live tracks that maybe officially hadn't been released. Or, like, for example, they cite a track called The Mob Rules New 2021 Mix. So that could just be some studio messing around with some things to make. Yeah. So what is your opinion? What's your opinion when things like this kind of get released and, like, maybe you guys aren't as included or they just get dropped out there? Like, how do you feel about it as a musician?
Well, you know, obviously nobody's going to let me know that they do, you know, something's being put out. It's just, this is the music business. It happens. I have no say in it. So that's just the way it is, you know. So I have to find out more information and see, you know, what the deal is. So I'm not signed to the deal or anything like that. So, but, you know, they're, I don't know, I have to check it out. You know? And I haven't heard it. I haven't heard any of the remixes. Of, you know, there's some great mixes on the original stuff. So sometimes it's better with the original mix than the new mix. Or sometimes it's better with the new mixes because technology is a little bit better. So I don't know. I'd have to hear it. But I found out on the internet as well. You know, oh, this is coming out.
Well, you know, we all love Heaven and Hell and Mob Rules, but let's get up to 2021 and find out what Last in Line's doing and the rest of the band. So how is Phil and Andrew and Vivian? What's going on in the LIL camp?
Everybody's great. We finished up 4 songs for the new record. We're in the middle of a new record deal, a new company, the whole thing. And you know, we were doing good up until all this pandemic hit, you know, and obviously slowed a lot of people down, including us. But we managed to finish 4 songs and two other songs we recorded as well, but they're not finished. And then we have about 6 more songs in the can as rehearsal stuff, you know, ideas, and some of them are pretty good arrangements. So we're waiting to finish that up. So everybody's in a different place. I'm in LA area. Andrew and Phil are in Vegas. Viv's on the East Coast. And so it's a little hard. We're not the type of band to send files to each other, you know? And I know there's a lot of bands like Winery Dogs feel the same way. Got to be in a room together. That's where all the magic happens. That's where things happen and the songs are created. So we're doing that. So we're still working on that. And then we did a couple of talk shows on our, you know, a live stream. We did a bunch of those. This ended last year into this year and people loved them. And then we just released a new shirt idea called A Sickness. It was one of the songs on the album, and it was a limited run. It just ended, and we did real well with that. And now we're tossing some ideas around with some new songs, some surprises and stuff. So hopefully I'm looking at some offers to go back on the road in October, you know, September, October. So right now you can only go and sign the contract and let's see what happens. You know,
you do have a couple of these dates on the website for Pennsylvania. Are those going to happen, or are they just haven't been taken down yet?
When is it for? Like November or something?
No, April 24th. And well,
oh, I don't know. Those might have been put up on the land. You know, they keep pushing stuff back. So I have to check that out and see what's up there, because you know, in October of last year, they're thinking April's going to be open. You know, so. Let's push this back to April. You know, it just got pushed back and just crazy. You know, we were supposed to play the Whiskey in Los Angeles, I think in September, you know, then it got pushed back to October, then December. Now I don't even know when it's being pushed back to. So
has the band thought about getting on board with any of those live streams?
No, not really. Live streams, do you mean playing together live?
Yeah, you know, some bands like Armored Saint, they did a thing from the Whiskey a Go-Go where the band plays.
Oh, yeah.
and it's streamed on the internet. It's
right.
Like a glorified rehearsal with cameras in front of you.
Yeah, we were thinking about doing something like that, but we thought maybe we'd just do, you know, just go in a room, play, have a laugh, and the whole thing, hanging out and all that shit. So we thought about it, but we never did it.
I guess that's a little different business model, because they had new product out. It was released, and you know, some bands, they're caught rock in a hard place. You know, no one knew really what was going to happen.
When you're doing video, you got to start thinking about the scenery, the lights, you know, then we got to get a recording thing down there going on. And, so it's not just an easy thing. You know, the Whiskey, you have to almost do it somewhere because they have lights there, and it's more conducive to playing live and loud. So ours would have been a different thing, more of a rehearsal kind of thing, you know. But yeah, but then we just didn't follow through with it. So we'll see what happens this year.
So at this point, everything's just on hold.
Yeah, But I've been doing a lot of stuff myself. I've been doing, first of all, I got a really cool drum show at 4 p.m. Pacific time on my Facebook. And this is sponsored by my drum company. They're called Sawtooth Drums. It's a new company. My friend owns the company. It's a great company. And every Tuesday at 4, I do a whole hour, maybe sometimes more, sometimes less. And I teach a little bit. I play to some music. I show some rock memorabilia. I tell stories. It's a really cool thing. It's not like one of these boring drum lessons. The drums sound big and loud. It's not, you know, some dead ass sound in a muffled studio. This is rock. It's a rock show.
I've watched it. I'm not a drummer, but I follow it, and it is interesting. And you know, Phil has his thing, and like you said, the band's doing you guys get yourself out there, and you know
I also got a show with my brother Carmine that we do with Ron Onesta from the Arcata Theater in St. Charles, Illinois, outside of Chicago. Well known theater. It's old, and everybody knows Ron, and we started a show. We did about 30 of them already, and it's Carmine and I, and Ron's the moderator, and we have all sorts of guests. This week we got myself, Rudy Sauza. I got David Fischoff, because we released a new his movie, Rock Camp, which Rudy and I are in. And we do that every Thursday. We had a tribute to Leslie West last week with Corky Lang and Bumblefoot and Richie Kotzen and Jeff Skunk Baxter. I mean, killer. We got some killer. We had Ted Nugent on. It's really, really, really cool. So that's on 4 o'clock on Thursday, and that's called Artists on Lockdown. So, becoming an internet star.
Yeah. Well, we'll have all these links right up on our show blog for you, and you know, we could pass that along. What's the best way? VinnieAppice.com is the official site for you.
Yeah, Vinny Appice, not Vinny Appice. Vinny Appice.
Well, yeah. If I was talking to your brother, and I have to, you know, switch up my show notes. But, Mark, you got anything you want to ask Vin before we get out of here?
Come on, Mark.
No, it's okay. Well, I was going to ask you about your Facebook Live drumming stuff, because I've checked it out, too. It's super cool. But also back to the other streaming stuff for a reference point, Striper recently released like a full show recording. It was, to John's point, it was around their new album, and they pretty much performed it front to back, you know, from a rehearsal stage. You know, it was really kind of stripped down, you know, not a lot of lights and things like that. But I think there is a little bit of a shift to maybe some bands doing the like full production kind of thing. But I guess there's always the question of, those things are expensive, right? When bring the full the production in. So, but it's great to see that you're busy.
Yeah, you got to, when you do something like that, you got to make a budget. You know, you got to get a budget. Go, we need lights, we need sound, we need this, we need that, and then put it together, and then weigh it out and see, you know, is this going to be worth doing? Is it going to be good? You know, so it's a lot of work, but there's a lot of ways to do it. You know, and yeah, so that's why, you know, we're doing little things right now. Hopefully we'll get the album finished. Maybe that'll come out before the summer, you know, and then we can play some dates maybe after that. I don't know. Who could tell what's going on?
What's your gut on that, Vin, in terms of, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but have you heard anything from promoters, anyone saying anything?
Or? Yeah, promoters want to do it. I mean, I keep getting... I've gotten a couple of contracts just today for, this is in October. It's Laconia, New Hampshire on October 29th. I haven't looked at it yet, but, the promoters are dying to do stuff. I'm getting, you know, I go to also do a thing, which I did for the last probably 5 years. I do, I got a band in Europe, really good, great band. And I do Sabbath, all the Sabbath music that I played on, a couple of oldies, a couple of Dio songs, and I go around and we play all over Europe. And I did like 25 shows. I did South America, and those did really well. And I want to do more of that. It's a lot of fun. I love it. And it's easy. It's just a 4-piece band. We play smaller places, you know, 100, 200 people. And it's just a lot of fun. So, they want to know when I can come over there. I said, I don't know, you know, I can't tell you, you know, what's going to happen. I think we need to kind of see what's going to happen this year. And then if things start opening up, then we book this stuff, you know, because again, you book it, then it gets changed. It's crazy. So I love doing that stuff too. And, so all around, I'm keeping really busy, and I do sessions. I got a studio in my house. And I've been doing a lot of sessions. I'm working on Jim Crean, who sings with Carmine and I on the Drum War show live. And I'm finishing up his album. That's a cool album, really dark and heavy. I'm playing on all the tracks. And Stefan Hound from France, he's the guitar player, bass player on it also, and writing the songs between all of us and Jim and him. And yeah, so there's a lot of stuff. And then I do other sessions too. I love doing the sessions too, because I mess around here with drum sounds and different mics and all this stuff. I'm becoming crazy.
Hey, so Vinny, so just goes back to where we started the interview a little bit, the questions. Looking back, knowing what you know now, when you had that decision to either go with, you know, Ozzy or go in Black Sabbath, and obviously you chose to go into Sabbath, what do you think, looking back, like, do you think you made the right decision, or were you like, man, maybe Ozzy performed better than you thought as a solo performer? Or like, what's your reflection on that time period again, looking back?
Well, I thought both opportunities were great. And the thing, Ozzy obviously kept on top, was on top for longer. than both Dio and Sabbath at that point. But what I always think about is Randy Rhoads was a friend of mine. And had I joined that band, I might have gotten that plane with them because I was young. You know, I might have go, hey, yeah, I'll go for a ride now. Yeah, shit, yeah. So, yeah, I'm with Randy. So who knows what would have happened. And on the day that plane crashed and Randy died, Sabbath were on tour and we were stuck somewhere with bad weather, some airport. And we're playing arena and it's getting later and later and the flights are canceled. So we had to charter this little shitty plane and ride in 2 hours in bad weather. The first time we did that, all the whole tour. And it was bumpy and it was rough. And it was like, okay, well, if I die here, I'm dying with a bunch of legends, you know. But we made it. It landed. And as soon as it landed, we found out Randy Rhoads was killed in a small plane like this. So how weird, you know.
This wouldn't be a Metal Mayhem ROC podcast if we didn't ask our friends to give us their Mount Rushmore of metal.
Many have tried, most have failed, only a few survived. This is the Mount Rushmore of metal.
So we're going to ask you, Vinny Appice, give us your top four Heaven and Hell album or Mob Rule tracks.
Heaven and Hell, obviously Heaven and Hell, the song, Neon Nights, and then Mob Rules, and the last one could be Sign of the Southern Cross.
Four great songs and two fantastic albums. I hope, get a little play out of it. But thank you for stopping in today. You know, we do.
Hey, good to talk to you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. We do everything possible to, push the word of all your projects, Last in Line and, you know, the Sabbath, it goes without saying.
Well, yeah, thank you very much. Vinny, go ahead, Mark.
So, before we wrap, I was just going to say, I wanted to add, Vernomatic and I wanted to thank you. When you guys came here about a year and a half ago, you guys were one of the first bands we actually had in our studio. And actually, we've kind of moved on from that studio a little bit. But, you gave us some really positive words of encouragement that we really appreciated and have kind of kept us going, you know, sometimes it's we're trying to just spread the word and help artists and help bands. And, we really enjoyed, your professionalism and being in town. And we thought that the show was a real success. So just want to thank you for, doing that back then and staying in touch with us. And, we're really grateful of it. So thank you.
Well, I didn't mean that anyway back then. So don't even know.
We got it on tape.
Well, yeah. And that was after we paid you guys though. So come on.
Right. Yeah. Well, thank you. I'm glad you guys are moving on. You keep going and we all need to keep going, you know, and actually in this kind of situation with the pandemic, I think music really helps people. It soothes the soul, you know, makes you feel good. And metal, especially, has got so much energy and so much feel and heart to it. So I think that, that's what we have right now. And I think that helps a lot. So, but thank you guys for keeping us going. I appreciate it.
Too. Thank you. And
pleasure to be on.
Okay. Well, Vin, and have a great rest of the winter. And thanks again for stopping in.
All right. You guys take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Man.
Take care, Vinny. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to tonight's discussion. Any questions or comments, please share with us at MetalMayhemROC.com. Now,
we are back.
Back to the rest of tonight's show.
Vinny Appice, Black Sabbath, Dio, Last in Line, and a whole bunch of other cool projects. Again, tomorrow, March 5th, the Heaven and Hell Mob Rules Deluxe reissues come out. Extra songs, outtakes, live versions. It's a whole bunch of fun stuff. I encourage you to go buy the physical copy because that's the way you should do it. Want to thank Metal Forever Mark and Metal Walt for joining us on this episode. Metal Forever Mark will be in the studio with me in the next couple weeks, and I'm sure we'll hear from Metal Walt soon enough. Let's see what else is going on. Just want to remind you, Monday nights, the Metal Mayhem ROC.com live radio show is on. Go to the website, click on the link. It's on thatmetalstation.com. Things have been going well. It's always fun to talk with you people on a live as it happens platform. Go to the website, download episodes, sign up for the email newsletter, enter yourself in the drawing for a free edition of this box set. So that's all for this week. We'll be back next week with some more content. Before I leave, I'm going to leave you with some Sabbath from this box set. I'm the Vernomatic. This is Metal Mayhem ROC. And as always, folks, keep it heavy.
metal for life.
Thanks for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our websites at metalmayhemroc.com and metalforever.com for information on upcoming concerts, podcasts, archives, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone, even your non-metal friends. Catch us next time on WLFE-DB Radio.